particular doctrine rather than on an occasion from God's Word. We pray that God would bless us, not that we're going to be able to fully comprehend the divine mystery of the Trinity, but with any mystery, we grow to appreciate how God has revealed himself to us. One God in three persons in one God. Most importantly, for us and for our salvation. A couple of words on our worship service for this morning. Our opening hymn, number 940. We'll be singing a lot of those 900 Trinitarian hymns today. 940, Holy God, we praise thy name. We stand on the last verse. Following that hymn, we'll follow Divine Service Setting 3, page 184 and following. Worship insert for the day. Readings are on one side. Propers are on the other. We pray that God would richly bless us as we sing his praises today. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son. We thank you for his life, death, and resurrection, winning for us forgiveness, life, and salvation. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit, calling us to faith, keeping us in the faith, growing us in the faith, pointing us to the completed work of your Son, Jesus. O God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teach us how to love and reverence you who have made unholy people truly holy by the blood of Jesus. Heavenly Father, all these things we pray in the name and for the sake of Jesus, crucified and risen to take away the sin of the world. Amen. Amen. Hymn 94.
Oh,
service setting 3, page 184. Page 184. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And you forgave me and forgive my sins.
O Almighty God, merciful Father,
I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We sing together the introit appointed for the day.
Oh, Lord. Almighty and everlasting God, you have given us grace to acknowledge the glory of the eternal Trinity by the confession of a true faith, and to worship the unity in the power of the divine majesty. Keep us steadfast in this faith and defend us from all adversities. For you, O Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, live and reign one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Continue with the readings. Please be seated. The Old Testament reading for the festival of the Holy Trinity is from Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost. For I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We speak together the gradual for the day. Blessed are you, O Lord, who beholds the deep and who dwells between the cherubim. Blessed are you, O Lord, in the firmament of heaven, and greatly to be praised. The epistle is from Romans chapter 11. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments, and how inscrutable his ways! For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him, and through him, and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the Alleluia, the reading of the Holy Gospel. Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter.
Glory to thee, O Lord.
Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, how can these things be? Jesus answered him, are you the teacher of Israel and yet do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man it must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This is the gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. On Trinity Sunday, we have the opportunity to confess the Trinitarian Creed, the Athanasian Creed, page 319 and 320. We'll confess the creed this morning responsively. I'll speak the odd verses. The congregation will respond with the even. Athanasian Creed, page 319 and following. Whoever desires to be saved must, above all, hold the Catholic faith.
Whoever does not keep it hold and undefiled will not have perished eternally.
And the Catholic faith is this.
Let me worship one God.
For the Father is one person, the Son is another, and the Holy Spirit is another.
But God and the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit is one. The glory of equal, the majesty of eternal.
Such as the Father is, such is the Son, and such is the Holy Spirit.
The Father and the Creator.
The Father, infinite. The Son, infinite. The Holy Spirit, infinite.
The Father, eternal. The Son, eternal. The Holy Spirit, eternal.
And yet there are not three eternals, but one eternal.
Just as there are not three uncreated, or three eternals, but one uncreated and one eternal.
In the same way, the Father is almighty, the Son, almighty, the Holy Spirit Almighty.
And yet there are not three Almighty, but one Almighty.
So the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God.
And yet there are not three gods, but one God.
So the Father is Lord, the Son is Lord, the Holy Spirit is Lord. Just as we are compelled by the Christian truth to acknowledge each distinct person as God and Lord, so also we are prohibited by the Catholic religion to say that there are three gods or lords.
God is not made nor created nor begotten by anyone.
The Son is neither made nor created, but begotten of the Father alone. Thus, there is one Father, not three fathers, one Son, not three sons, one Holy Spirit, not three Holy Spirits. But the whole three persons are co-eternal, with each other and co-equal, so that in all things, as has been stated above, the Trinity in unity and unity in Trinity is to be worshipped.
Therefore, whoever desires to be saved must think thus about the Trinity.
But it is also necessary for everlasting salvation that one faithfully believe the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Therefore, it is our right faith that we believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is at the same time both God and man.
He is God, begotten from the substance of the Father before all ages, and he is man, born from the substance of his mother in this age. Equal to the Father with respect to his divinity, less than the Father with respect to his humanity.
Oh, he is God and man. He is not two, but one Christ.
One, however, not by the conversion of the divinity into flesh, but by the assumption of the humanity into God.
One altogether, not by
For as the rational soul and flesh is one man, so God and man is one Christ.
He suffered for our salvation, descended into hell, rose again the third day from the dead,
ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father, God Almighty, from whence he will come to judge the living and the dead. And those who have done good will enter into eternal life, and those who have done evil into eternal fire.
This is the path of faith. Whoever does not believe it faithfully and firmly cannot be saved.
We continue now with the hymn of the day, All Glory Be to God on High, 947.
Thank you. the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our text today comes from the Old Testament lesson, especially these words, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory." Thus far our text. Dear friends in Christ, in our Old Testament lesson for this morning, we see a terrifyingly beautiful picture of heaven. It's beautiful with archangels and angels and the whole company of heaven, the glorious throne of God, six-winged seraphs, and all that goes with it. The singing of the heavenly choir, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God of Sabaoth." It's beautiful because it's perfect. It's holy. No sin is allowed in such a glorious place. Because no sin is allowed in the holy God's presence. And it's that reality, dear Christians, that makes such a beautiful place so terrifying for Isaiah. You see, when Isaiah sees heaven, he cannot help but realize the difference between the holy, beautiful, precious heaven and its perfection and his own poor, miserable, sinful flesh. When Isaiah sees how good heaven is and he compares himself to the triune God, the holy, holy, holy one, all he can do is cry out, "Woe is me! I'm ruined. I'm a man of unclean lips, a man of sin, a man who has broken this holy God's word, a man who has loved myself more than the perfection that God is. Woe to me! Because God does not allow sin in his presence, and I am sin. And I live among other sinners." When Isaiah sees heaven, he's terrified because of his guilt and his sin. Dear Christians, is that what you expect? When someone sees heaven, do you expect them to be terrified, in horror, falling down on their face in awe? Not really. You go to the bookstore and there's rows and rows of books about people who have supposedly gone to heaven. And what do they report in these books? They talk about how it's all rainbows and sunshine and happiness. Maybe you've even read 90 Minutes in Heaven or How Heaven Is for Real. And not one of the characters in those books, and I do mean characters, react like Isaiah. Not one of them falls on their faces in terror, thinking of their sin while in the holiness of God. Why does Isaiah react this way? Why is he terrified before the true and only God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? It's because of his sin. And Isaiah knew his Bible. He had read it time and time again. He had heard it week in and week out at the synagogue. He had heard how God commanded Israel to blot out sin from before his face. Isaiah had read about the punishment of Sodom and Gomorrah. He had read about hard-hearted Pharaoh and how his host was drowned in the Red Sea. He knew what had happened to every nation that had stood opposed to God's chosen people, Israel. From the city of Jericho to the people of Moab and more. Isaiah knew the truth. God will not stand even for the smallest sin. God is just. Isaiah knew about King David, a man after God's own heart, who had his own kingdom fall apart all for one night of adultery. When Isaiah looked at himself, he realized he wasn't any better. When he looked at himself, he realized that he was the chief of sinners. In fact, Isaiah realized he was the worst sinner that he knew about. For you see, we all try to hide sin, right? But it's difficult to hide our own sin from ourselves. Isaiah knew the secret little thoughts that he had had. Isaiah knew the sin that lurked away in the recesses of his soul. Isaiah knew all the things he had done, but not been caught. Isaiah knew his guilt better than any other except for God. And now here God was. So standing before God's throne, Isaiah falls down in terror. What about you, dear Christian? If God were suddenly to appear right here with all his holiness, and glory, and power, and might, and wisdom, with the host of heaven, with seraphs and their six wings flying right here in front of your eyes, how would you fare? Are you holy? Or are you sinful? When you stand before God and all your secrets are revealed and are brought into the light, will you be innocent or will you be chief of sinners? It's a terrifying thing to consider, isn't it? Even for pastors. For all of our shortcomings, our guilt, and our sin is known to God, the same God who says to you and to me, "Be holy as I, the Lord your God, am holy." Have you been holy? I know that I have failed. Failed as a Christian, failed as a pastor, failed as a father, failed as a son. I'm sure that if you consider your life as well, that you have not lived up to God's holy standards. Sin is ever before us. It nags at our broken consciences, ever reminding us of the truth that that we are not worthy to be before God. And so with Isaiah, we stand before God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, guilty. Woe to us of unclean lips, who live among people who also are unclean. Woe to us who must stand as sinners before the holy, holy, holy God. Did you see what happens in our Old Testament lesson? Isaiah is terrified, laying on the ground as a dead man, condemned, cut to the heart, guilty. But an angel comes to him with a burning coal from the altar of God in heaven, and takes that burning coal and touches it to Isaiah's unclean lips and says to Isaiah, your guilt is taken away, your sin is atoned for. As soon as that word is spoken, Isaiah is no longer guilty before God. How does this work? What is it with this burning coal? Should we light a fire and start burning people's lips right here? How does this seemingly silly act take all of Isaiah's sin away? It happens because of where this burning coal comes from. It comes from the altar of God. An altar's not just a fancy table for the front of church. In the old days, an altar was the place where sin was atoned for, where sacrifices were made, where animals had their necks slit, their blood drained out, their bodies cut up and burned in fire. The animals took the place of the sinner. The shedding of their blood counted for the shedding of sinners' blood. Isaiah had seen countless animals killed in the temple in Jerusalem. And now in heaven, he sees the culmination of these sacrifices. He sees the glory of God's true atonement for all sin of all times, in all places, and all people. The sacrifice in the altar of heaven that took away Isaiah's sin is the same sacrifice that takes away your sin from you. God, the great King of kings and Lord of lords, left behind the glory and perfection and beauty and holiness of heaven, became a man, born of a Virgin Mary, living a perfect life in our dirty, sinful, broken world. God became man in Jesus and lived a life in the flesh of our human nature. And then when the time was right, he paid the ultimate sacrifice for sin. God is the one who was bound in the person of Jesus. God was the one who was tried for the sins of the whole world. God was the one who was crucified, whose blood poured out. God in Jesus was the one who suffered the just punishment for Isaiah's sin. And yes, dear Christian, for your sin as well. It's the blood of Jesus that is poured out upon the altar of heaven, where the fire of punishment is burning. It's the blood of Jesus that makes the burning coal that touched Isaiah's lips take his sin away. You see, when that burning coal touched Isaiah's lips, the blood of Jesus healed him. The blood of Jesus took his sin away. And the same is true for you. It is the sacrifice of Jesus that allows you and Isaiah to stand before the holy, holy, holy triune God in peace. No, we are not going to start a fire here in the church. We're not going to burn all of your lips with coals. But we are going to bring the blood of Jesus from this altar and pour it into your mouth. We're going to feed you with the very body of Jesus that took away your sin by dying and rising again. We'll give you the sacrifice for all sin to eat. And as you eat, your body is made well, your sin is atoned for, and you are connected to the sin sacrifice of Jesus. That sacrifice covers all your sin. There's none that you can hide and keep from his forgiveness. Because Jesus poured out his life on the cross for you, you now can safely enter heaven. Because Jesus died in your place, you can now safely stand before God and see him face to face. Because Jesus died for your sin, you can enjoy the perfection, the beauty, the angels, the archangels, and all that there is in heaven. And you can enjoy it forever and ever, world without end. Because Jesus died for your sin, you now are holy, 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 holy. Your sin is cleansed. Because of Jesus, you can now come and eat the foretaste of that heavenly feast while still here in this sinful, dirty, difficult, broken world. You are made holy by the blood of the Lamb. Fear not, dear Christian, but rejoice. One day you will stand before God at peace, with no fear, with no dread of judgment. You will be declared not guilty. You'll sing with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven. You'll see your loved ones who have died in the faith. In Jesus, you will live forever. For God's sacrifice has touched your lips, and your sin has been atoned for. You belong to God, and you always will. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. And now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. This time we stand and sing together the Create in Me the Offertory, found in your hymnal on page 192. Please stand.
Thank you.
seated. Again, welcome. Welcome in the name of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or throughout the world on the internet. We pray that the thrice holy God who has provided forgiveness, life, and salvation through the gift of Jesus would be yours today and always. Amen. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings. And as you're able. In addition to the prayers that are listed in our news and notes, we pray for Lyle Shart, the brother-in-law of Good Shepherd member Lois Kirchhoff, who was injured in a very serious farm accident this week. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. For an increase in devotion for all the saints, for the faithful proclamation of the gospel by all pastors in Christ, for an end to all schism and division within the church militant, and for the proper fear and fervent praise of the Holy Trinity among all those born from above in holy baptism, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For faithful catechesis and formation in the faith, for our catechumens, both young and old, for a renewed vigor to study God's word within the congregations of our synod, for Christ to be fully formed within us, for courage to walk as children of the light, and for strength in the face of temptation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sojourner and stranger, for the persecuted and oppressed, for prisoners and their families, for the enemies of the faith, and for the true repentance of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For thankful hearts, and for the faithful support of the church and the work of the Lord here and throughout the world, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the vocation of fatherhood, that fathers would love and provide for their children, that children would respect and honor their fathers, and that the love of Jesus Christ would be at the center of every family. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the nations and those who lead them, for an end to violence and war, and for peace throughout the world, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who endure mental illness, for those who mourn, for the lonely and brokenhearted, for those with chronic pain, for the sick, injured, hospitalized, shut in, and for all who have requested our prayers, including Ken, Mark, Sharon, Joe, Francine, Loretta, Georgia, LaVon, Irma, Shirley, Mel, Barb, Sherry, Lyle, the family of Cletus Thane, the family of Elnora, our shut-in members, and those that we remember in our hearts. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the reverent awe, as our lips receive the very body and blood of Christ from the holy altar, for the removal of our guilt and deliverance from evil, for the strengthening of our love for God and for one another, and for an increase of faith, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the dead, and the life everlasting, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
We continue now with the service of the sacrament, page 194 and following. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to
do. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, who with your only begotten Son and the Holy Spirit are one God, one Lord. In the confession of the only true God, we worship the Trinity in person and the unity in substance, majesty co-equal. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, together.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
the very body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus,
strengthen and preserve you in both body and soul unto life everlasting. Depart in peace and joy. Your sins are forgiven.
Amen.
We sing the post-communion canticle, Nunc Dimittis, page 199. We stand. Thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith towards you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with us,
bless we the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Please remain standing for our closing hymn, 805, Common Doxology. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for you and for your salvation. Kids, you can go get some goodies. We'll be back in here in about 5 minutes or so for a short Sunday school opening. All of you are invited for coffee and goodies in the fellowship hall. One opportunity for Bible study this morning in the fellowship hall, joyful generosity. We're working our way through 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. Encourage you to check out the Good Shepherd News and Notes. A lot of activities and stuff going on. Happy Father's Day for all that it applies to. Also, on Tuesday of this week, we have a voters' assembly That'll be at 7 o'clock. That's this Tuesday. On Wednesday, missionary Michael Paul will be here. And he's been here before, one of the missionaries that we support here at Good Shepherd, missionary to Taiwan. And if you're able to be here for church, that's awesome. He'll be putting on a presentation after church. That'll start around 7:30 or so. So we'd like to have a good turnout. We could only get a Wednesday with his busy schedule for his furlough. But if you can be here, please keep him in your prayers. Any other encouragement or financial support would be a great gift and a great blessing as well. It's kind of a shame that all of our missionaries have to come back home periodically and generate their own money. It's just the way the system is set up right now. I think it is to our great shame, but it is what it is. So Wednesday evening, Michael Paul, missionary to Taiwan, will be here. And then next Saturday, we have Red Cross Blood Drive, have a little insert in there as well, and help pass the word. If you're able or eligible to give blood, please do so. I read a statistic this week that less than 3% of the eligible blood donors in our country actually give blood. So we can do better. We can do better. And if you can, that'd be a great thing to consider. And that'll be this coming Saturday here at Good Shepherd, 11:30 to 5:30 during the day. During Vacation Bible School, we had two mission projects that we were dealing with simultaneously. One was Lutheran Heritage Foundation, and lots of little envelopes went home with the kids. And if you all of a sudden now discover the envelopes with the packets, you can still get a mission offering, put it in a regular plate. We'll make sure it goes to the right spot. The other one was the baby bottle. Kids took baby bottles home, put change or a check or whatever in the baby bottle. If you have those at home, you can bring those back anytime. And there's a table set up in the narthex as well. One other thing. Former vicar Lawson Short will be ordained and installed as pastor at St. Peter Lutheran Church in North Bend 3 weeks from today, so that is July 7th at 4:30 in the afternoon. July 7th, 4:30 in the afternoon, and former pastor Murundi will be preaching. So if you can put that on your schedule, North Bend, it's not underwater anymore. So it's just an hour up the road. So if that fits into your schedule, that'd be a great way to show our encouragement and our support for former Vicar Short. Speaking of vicars, Vicar's on vacation, and he's supposed to be taking the day off, but instead he's at his wife's home congregation in Grand Island for a surprise 35th anniversary of ordination for Pastor Bremer, and he's preaching there. Some of you realize that the last month or so of vicarage, we kind of farm the vicars out. They get a little more experience, and he'll be preaching several places on Sunday morning between now and the end of July. Last Sunday in July will be his last day, also the day for farewell. That evening, we'll have a little celebrity roast and all that kind of stuff. New vicar will be here middle of July. We'll let you know if we need any help moving or anything like that. And if you want to hear the vicar preach between now and the end of July, he's preaching lots of Wednesdays because he's going to be gone a lot on Sunday. Anything else, Pastor? Have a great day in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.